Leaving aside what disallows means, this proposal follows on Trump's failure to strike a deal with Kim Jong-un when Trump had the chance. Venezuela is the focus of Project 2025's Latin America section. It says, quote, "The next administration must take important steps to put Venezuela's communist abusers on notice while making strides to help the Venezuelan people," unquote. That ambiguous advice has been overtaken by events. Venezuela's contested presidential election on July 28 has already led the U.S. to recognize President Nicolas Maduro's opponent, Edmundo González, as the winner and maintain sanctions. Mexico is treated as a cartel state that has lost its sovereignty. Quote, "The next administration," says the project, "must both adopt a posture that calls for a fully sovereign Mexico and take all steps at its disposal to support that result in as rapid a fashion as possible," unquote. Is Mexico's lack of full sovereignty an argument for more direct U.S. intervention in Mexico? Trump is known to have once expressed the view, while president, that the U.S. should consider invading Mexico on the pretext of disrupting the drug trade. On nuclear weapons and military spending, Project 2025 proposes to increase production and modernization of nuclear weapons and resume nuclear weapons testing in violation of the comprehensive test ban. These ideas, fully in line with Trump's infatuation with nuclear weapons, are all tied to proposals for major increases in the U.S. military budget, strengthening the U.S. defense industrial base, and increasing U.S. arms sales abroad. As president, Trump would be free to accept or reject any part of Project 2025's ideas, but whatever he accepts will be no less dangerous than any of his own ideas. I'm Mel Gertow for The Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, August 13, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Mel Gertow and David Rosenberg. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Eric Tagadoff, Antonia Gonzalez, Farah Siddiqui, Kathleen Shannon, Will Walkie, and Mike Moen. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Eric Leuschner. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Michelle Coppola, along with Grant Button. We are here with KBOO News Director Althea Billings, the effervescent Althea Billings, to talk about the KBOO Election Agenda Survey. It is live right now. Welcome, Althea.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So back in 2020, there were so many issues on the ballot. It was so confusing for so many people to try to make heads or tails of all the issues and to figure out what they felt about a lot of those things. How is KBOO's Election Agenda Survey going to help this time around? What is the purpose of the survey?
Yeah, so 2020 was the first time that we did something like this to try to ask our listeners, and it really centers around one question. People hear survey and they're like, oh, it's 20 pages. And
I don't have time for all that.
I gotta research. I don't know. No, really, what we want to know is, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? It's very simple. That's the main question. That's the crux of the whole issue. And so we ran that in 2020, which was, of course, a very crazy time, I think. And what that
crazier than now? Well, I don't know.
You know, it's a little bit difficult to but it was the situation, right?
Yeah,
where we
right.
can't quite make heads or tails of it. But at the same time, you know, as journalists, as radio producers, you know, both in the news department here at KBOO, but all of our programmers who are trying to inform our audience, how do we do that? What do they really need to know? That's what the survey has been for.
So I do want to ask, as a follow-up to that, what kind of a survey is it? Is it bulleted lists that people can choose from? Because I know a lot of times they have trouble thinking of all the things that might be important to them, and they go, oh, yeah, no, that's my number one issue.
Yeah.
You know, is it an essay question? How does it work? What is the format of it?
Well, yeah, the main one that I really would love for people to answer is, like I said, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? That's long form. You write whatever you want in that one, and we'll take it on ourselves to kind of parse and categorize and figure out, you know, kind of broadly what the priorities of, you know, the listeners and everybody that we want to serve, what they've listed as, you know, this is a common theme for people, something that we really do need to know from candidates, what's going on. There is like a ranking section of like, is this comparing different issues, 1 through 5, how important is it to you? And there's also a little bit of information about like, oh, have you voted before? How old are you? Some demographic information like that, but that's all optional. The main one I want to know is, type me out a little sentence.
Yeah, tell me what's on your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, so you're collecting all of this information. What are you going to use it for?
That's a great question. So the whole point is that it's not going to go nowhere. Sometimes you fill out a survey, somebody's like, oh, can you fill out this form? I don't know where it goes. It is going to be put into our election agenda. So we've done this in years past, like you mentioned in 2020. And what this sort of came out into being was a list of priorities, a list of issue areas in particular that were things that were highlighted again and again from our community. So folks can look forward to the end of August once this, so the deadline, I should say, the deadline for the survey, we want those submitted by August 14th. We'll come back at you 2 weeks later with the agenda, with what it is that is going to help guide our coverage here at KBOO, and how we are going to be talking to candidates and what do we need to be talking to them about.
So what I want to know is, in years past, and there's two parts to this, in years past, what have been your participation results like? And then what has been the tone of the participation that you've gotten in terms of passion, in terms of uniformity, or are the responses tend to be all over the place, or does there seem to be a lot of trends?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a diversity of opinion in, I believe we got somewhere around 200 responses in 2020, which I have to say I'm pretty proud of. That was a year we weren't allowed to go outside and talk to people.
Right.
Already, with some of our in-person events that KBOO's been at, we're already close to that number. If folks saw us out in the world, maybe you filled out a survey already and this sounds familiar, but this is going to be way bigger than we've done it in the past. So from that participation that we got in the past, there were, you know, these kind of common threads, especially thinking about what was going on in 2020, you know, some of those things that we pulled out, addressing police brutality, racial justice, climate crisis came up a lot in that as well. It's not to say that it's a monolith by any means of and even sort of the angle that people take on it of, well, I want to hear it talked about in this way, or I want to hear it talked about in this way, and that's helpful as well. One of the things that was really interesting about the 2021, for sure, and especially because I'm like saying this as the news director, helping to coordinate our volunteers and our reporting and everything like that, there are some of the ones on the list that I felt like I could have predicted. You know, of course we need to talk about racial justice, of course we know that our listeners really care about the climate crisis, but one thing that came up enough to that we had to talk about it, that we had to put it on our agenda, was income inequality. And that's not to say that I discount in any way that that's a real issue for people, but that is something that was really top of mind in 2020 as something, hey, asking us essentially, hey, KBOO, go to those people, ask them about income inequality, have them recognize it. What do they want to do about it?
You know? That's at the root of so many of the issues we have. When you look at homelessness, when you look at communities and the problems that they face and poverty and so forth, income inequality is at the root of almost all of those.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really helpful. That was something that really was able to guide us. I mean, for a tumultuous political time, socially, like everything that was going on, we really appreciate everybody who helped kind of make that happen in the past and try to serve, you know, the info that we needed in 2020, and then now looking to the 2024 election, which, you know, I didn't want to do this any earlier because I feel like nobody wants to talk about politics, but you know, now we got to get down to it and talk about, you know, what we need to say.
Interesting. And are you planning any like events or community gatherings per se to kind of advertise and promote this?
Well, this is a little bit of advertising and promotion. I think you're probably going to hear about it on the KBOO airwaves quite a bit in the next couple weeks. But if you see us out at events as well, there are paper copies available for folks to pick up and give back to us as well. I also want to mention we are sending this survey out as well to some of our other community radio partners in Oregon through Oregon Community Media. KBOO's a member with them. I go to the board meetings. They're great people. KWSO, KSKQ, they're going to be picking it up as well. So hopefully we'll have even a more global is maybe the wrong word, but like, you know, global in the sense of like broad, a broader look at what folks across the state are really wanting to know going into this election season.
So how does a survey like this inform and enrich KBOO's election coverage as we move into the election season?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is, it gives us a strong basis for how to craft that election coverage, because you know sometimes the alternative is that I feel like there's a dissatisfaction with our media because it's really easy for them to get pulled by the winds. You know, we're chasing clickbait, we're chasing what are the
latest soundbite,
the media storm. You know, whatever it is. And so now all of a sudden it's horse race coverage. You know, oh, who's ahead, who's behind, or this scandal happened or this scandal happened. And you know, sometimes that is not like totally invalid as something to talk about, but having that consume everything makes it so that people go when they get their ballot, they don't feel like they know enough. They don't feel great about
and
being able to fill things out.
And they tune you out.
Yeah.
Because they're hearing the same things over and over and over again instead of what they really feel is important. And this gives you an opportunity to focus on what they have told you they want to hear about and focus on.
Yeah. And I think it's based on, so this, I didn't invent this. I want to be clear about that. This is based on the Citizens Agenda model that was created by Jay Rosen. Other publications and media organizations have done similar stuff as well. But, you know, really trying to get out of the ivory tower, so to speak, which KBOO isn't so much ivory tower, but there is that kind of like angle that folks in media sometimes have, and try to get to like, okay, I don't know what's best for people. People know what's best for people, and what can I do to make sure that I'm, you know, communicating that.
That's extremely important. I really appreciate the timing of this, you know, because this is right, you know, kind of before the election when people, as you said, when people are kind of starting to think about it, even though they may not want to think about it. But I really appreciate that. And how can people get involved with the survey? Is there a way to kind of promote it otherwise, or how can they get involved besides taking it?
Folks can take the survey right now. There is a shortcut link that I'd be glad to share. It's bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24. That is the direct link to the survey. You know, tell a friend, get your friend's opinion in there. We would love to have that as a part of it. There's also an extended blog post on our website that explains what we're looking for, how we're going to use it, and what we're going forward here. So yeah, that link is bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24.
.org?
No. That's just the direct link.
Survey. That's a direct link. KBOO
survey.
Bit.ly. Duh, the old person here. Sorry. Bit.ly. Yeah, I forgot it. So are there any incentives for people to take the survey? Is there anything that, hey, what's in it for me?
Well, supporting your community radio station, helping people get informed, having an informed electorate, blah, blah, blah. If you care about that stuff, that's a good reason. We are also offering there's a sweepstakes associated with filling out the survey. So that is the full rules to that are on our website, kboo.fm. But there is a $50 Visa gift card in the sweepstakes. So people can be entered into that if that is something that incentivizes a little bit of your time and your thinking about, you know, what do you want candidates to really say in this season?
So I'm going to ask you to put on your experienced journalist prognosticator cap, okay?
Whoa.
Okay.
Dig it out.
All right, here's the deal. I want to know, how do you expect the results of this year to differ from 2020? What do you expect to see? Is there anything in particular you think you might see, any trends or anything different?
I mean, part of it is I'm very eager to see what people highlight. I think that climate crisis is going to be a really big one. I might expect, you know, of course, in 2020, we were in the middle of the pandemic. Healthcare was really high. Healthcare, maybe I'm not expecting that to be ranking quite as high for folks right now, but that's not to say that it shouldn't, or I'd love to be surprised if everybody feels like, you know, we need to be hearing from folks about healthcare and things like that. But, you know, part of the whole thing is I don't want to prescribe for people what they should be thinking and worrying about. And this is an interesting
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yes. I gotcha. But it is an interesting moment to really take the temperature and see what people want to know about, because I think that there is sort of a predominant, I don't know, idea about what people care about, but we should ask people, what do you really care about?
And once again, that survey link is bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24. Is that
yes,
right?
Okay. Yes. That's the one.
And Althea, do you have any final thoughts here?
Well, I want to thank everybody who listens to KBOO for filling out the survey, for supporting the news department and doing this in the years past. And, you know, I'm very excited. I'm cooking up some good stuff for everybody, I hope, that we can be excited about.
Hardest working person at KBOO. I mean, we have a lot of hardworking people here, but I tell you, she's like a one-woman band here. She really
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I
don't want to insult anybody else who is working here. I'm sorry. All the wonderful people who do work here, but
Althea
is like...
I'm playing the fiddle.
Yeah, she does so much. And I mean, our volunteers, of course, we couldn't do this without them. But Althea, I do want to give you some props for how hard you work to really keep KBOO on its feet and make us, you know, legit.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, just really appreciate everybody's attention, you know, giving us a little sliver of your expertise about what you need to know this election season. And, you know, trying to make it like a little more fun. I think that people have been... It's easy to feel really down about politics. And right. So, you know, trying to spin us away from that and focus on the future.
All right. So thanks for talking with us. We've been speaking with Althea Billings, KBOO's new director, about the KBOO Election Agenda Survey. Available now. It can be found online at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24.
You've been listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Grant Button, and I am joined alongside Althea Billings.
And Michelle. Don't forget Michelle.
And Michelle, of course. You've got more content coming up next.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. I'm here with Jeremiah Hayden, reporter at Street Roots, to talk about his latest article for the paper. It's called PPB Presentation Requesting Munitions Over State's Urgency, Records Show. PPB and Mayor's Office Rush Emergency Purchase of Crowd Control Munitions While PPB's 2020 Protest Settlements Reach $3.5 Million. Welcome to the show, Jeremiah.
Hi, Althea. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Your new article takes a look at an emergency purchase for Portland cops that City Council passed in May. To set the stage here, what was this emergency ordinance for?
PPB asked the city to authorize it to purchase $1.1 million, part of $1.1 million total budget for new crowd control equipment, new inventory, including shields, like $28,000 worth of shields, roughly $28,000 worth of less lethal munitions, and then quite a bit for training. This was like May 29th that this came before the council, because PPB is required, thanks to a December of 2020 resolution that requires PPB to come to the council to get authorization to purchase any riot control munitions due to their response to protests in 2020. So they came to the council that day. This was proposed as an emergency ordinance May 24th, just before Memorial Day weekend, by Ted Wheeler. Street Roots reported on that at the time, because it seemed like a real effort to sort of obfuscate the process, cut out the public, and not allow a lot of time for that. This is just, PPB said they needed these munitions because it's just right after student protests broke out across the country and across the world. Most recently at that point at PSU, when protesters took over the library in support of Palestine.
Well, part of the reason we're talking about it today is that you got some public records back to show some discrepancies both in the story and the urgency that was presented by police to council. Part of it having to do with when exactly these munitions that they're talking about, when they expire.
Right. Before this council presentation from PPB Commander Franz Schoenig, Streetroots had been following kind of the riot control public order team, like munitions that they were going to be using. And so we've been kind of following the inventory there to kind of see what they have when things are expiring. And consistently for every quarter, they're required to submit these to the mayor. And so we can also get them through a public records request showing what their inventory is. And it said consistently that they expired from 2022 to 2026 and that they have a 5-year shelf life. In this presentation to council, Schoenig specifically said that they had a 5-year shelf life, so they were expiring in January of 2025. That seemed a little bit odd to us because that was a much sooner expiration date than what we had kind of been tracking for a while. And so we filed for some records to get the emails about this. And it mostly was our email to PPB asking for information in the lead up to this council session. And then it kind of set off this, I don't know if it's a firestorm exactly, but it set off a lot of emails amongst like the public information officer up to the commander, even like Bob Day, the police chief. And it never mentions January until it gets to the council's session, where in this presentation, Schoenig says all of our riot control munitions expire in January of 2025. Coupled with the sort of emergency ordinance nature of the thing, it just seems they're trying to get these munitions sooner than they need them.
Well, Portland police going on a spending spree isn't new. And like you mentioned, there's this law from 2020 that touches on that practice. What all does that entail?
Basically, after PPB responded the way that they did in just using unprecedented amount of tear gas, a number of lawsuits have come up in the intervening years here, costing $3.5 million in settlements for police brutality. The city council basically passed a resolution then requiring them to come tell them what they want to purchase, and then city council has to authorize that.
And in this emergency ordinance, what did they want to purchase?
For this one, they wanted to purchase $28,000 worth of shields. These are like, you know, those are inherently pretty defensive, but like interlocking shields for these public order events, $28,000 on less lethal munitions, which is like 350 tear gas canisters, 50 smoke grenades, 350 impact rounds, 300 pepper balls, and 100 flashbangs. Again, stating that all of their munitions were expiring in January of 2020, despite the fact that the protests of 2020 didn't break out until May 25th, you know, when George Floyd was murdered by Minneapolis police officer, that's when they broke out. So a 5-year shelf life would presumably be closer to May, June, July.
You mentioned this a little bit, but what was PPB's justification for needing these munitions on such a tight timeline, like that the turnaround had to be so, so quick and on this like Memorial Day weekend session?
It's kind of funny because the reasoning was that it was literally from a press release in light of, or it's included in the emergency ordinance in light of recent protests referencing these pro-Palestine protests that were ongoing at Portland State. And they felt that mentioned to some extent, the city said that there was a supply chain issue, even though that's something that Schoenig never mentioned in that presentation for this year. That's more of something that you heard about a lot in 2020, would be that there's a supply chain issue. I'm not aware of any supply chain issues now. But they wanted to get prepared for, you know, this is an election year. November is coming up very soon. And so it seems that, you know, the inauguration is going to be in January. So, you know, you can kind of see that they're maybe preparing for some sort of unrest.
You talked to the public information officer. What's the danger, I guess, associated with having expired munitions, which I believe we know for a fact were shot at protesters during the 2020 racial justice protests?
Right. This, for me, is a really disturbing piece of this story, actually. I kind of expected, you know, more of like that they become more dangerous. We heard about this a lot. I know there are a number of people who have worked on this around town about what happens with these kinds of chemicals and people when they come into contact with humans, and that being very unsafe for the public. even more unsafe than tear gas is in the first place. But the PPB PIO Kevin Allen said that the expiration date is just the date at which the items are no longer covered under the warranty by the manufacturer, and so they were going to use the expired munitions for training. And then he said, for us, the biggest concern about using expired munitions is the possibility that one may be a dud and not deploy when it is needed. In the midst of a riot, that's a real public safety concern. That's why we want to use them in training. We want to have fresh in-warranty product in case it's needed. So the idea there is that if they threw this tear gas canister and it didn't tear gas anyone, they considered that to be the danger.
Pivoting back to the council decision here, what is the significance of Mayor Ted Wheeler putting this purchase forward as an emergency ordinance?
Yeah, an emergency ordinance can be amended right up until the date that it is voted on, and then it can go into effect immediately. It doesn't require more than that one public reading. So kind of the opportunity for more transparency, for the public comment period, it really goes away under an emergency ordinance. A regular ordinance requires two readings in advance. You know, you could, it's proposed earlier and then it goes, you know, 1 week and then there's public testimony, another week, public testimony. It can't be amended within 5 days. And then there's a 30-day delay before it can go into effect. So in a really transparent way, most ordinances will just be a regular ordinance and the public has an opportunity to say what they want to happen with their tax dollars and their city moving forward. Under this emergency ordinance, which Wheeler has used quite a bit, it really evades that public scrutiny period and goes into effect immediately. So PPB is able to just ask for it. You know, they knew in advance. These records show that they knew as early as May 17th that they would be ordering this under an emergency ordinance. But the public didn't know that. And it just came up right before Memorial Day weekend, and there were 2 days, and then it passed, and they can just basically hit the buy now button.
There's another interesting tidbit in your article about Police Commander Schoening and the National Tactical Officers Association. What can you tell me about that?
Right. This is something that Kevin Allen, the PPB's PIO, was really clear about. He wanted to say this is not just something that PPB decided to do. This is something that these are recommendations based on something from the Independent Monitor LLC. The city has retained that group to assess PPB's crowd control response in the past because they were sued by the Department of Justice in 2012. Lots of details in there. We'll stay away from it. But this is in line with the National Tactical Officers Association, the NTOA. And they're following these best practices. So Commander Schoening, in his council presentation, said, you know, essentially, we're not doing this on our own. This is totally in line with the NTOA standards, but failed to mention that he is on the standards committee for the NTOA, the standard review committee. And they published this public order response and operation standards in June 2023. He posted it in the slide deck in the council meeting, but didn't mention that he's actually responsible for, in part, responsible for developing those standards.
That's an interesting one. Well, like you mentioned, the munitions that Portland police were after aren't cheap, but neither are the settlement payouts for folks injured by the same police during the 2020 racial justice protests. And that's an important thing to lay on here. What has that cost the city so far?
Right, you're right. This is the context. I mean, this, you know, the fact that PPB is purchasing any crowd control munitions at all, given its history, is surprising. They hurt and maimed people in 2020, and they had done that previously, and they've done that since. They've paid out over $3.5 million in protest-related settlements since March of 2023. So those settlements are all still ongoing. There was one as recently as June 10th for $11,500. Because PPB went out and aggressively used these munitions against the populace and people have sued, the city's paying for it, and taxpayers, whether you're pro-police or an abolitionist, taxpayers are paying for those settlements.
What do you want folks to take away from this story?
Well, this matters. I mean, I don't think it's big news that, you know, a police officer lied. They're allowed to do that. But this does matter in the context of the world that we live in. And seeing that there's an election coming up in November, that there will, you know, be an inauguration in January, and just the basic fundamental right of people to protest. Many thousands of Portlanders have been at a peaceful protest, eating a donut, and then next thing they know, they're being tear gassed and flashbanged and, you know, hit with these terrible munitions. So, you know, this really does matter, and we demand transparency, and PPB will go out in public and give press conferences saying that, you know, we want to be accountable and build trust with the public. And I don't think that obfuscating details about this kind of thing is a great way to build trust with the public.
If our listeners are interested, where can they find a full copy of your article?
The best way to get Streeters is to support a vendor by buying a print copy there in your neighborhood and accept cash, Venmo, and tips. And you can also find us at streetroots.org.
Do you have any final thoughts?
No, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremiah. That was Streetroots reporter Jeremiah Hayden speaking with me about his latest article. It's called PPB Presentation Requesting Munitions Overstates Urgency, Records Show. PPB and Mayor's Office Rush Emergency Purchase of Crowd Control Munitions While PPB's 2020 Protest Settlements Reach $3.5 million. More information is online at streetroots.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
Listening to KBOO Portland.